Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Maximizing Your Potential by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
What are you doing with the seed that God put in you? Are you complaining about who won't give you an opportunity? Are you talking about the man or the woman or your background or the abuse or the firing or the foreclosure or the divorce? Or you still saying, I got some seed in me? Which means I have potential. Seed is potential. And everything God created put a seed in itself. Look at Mark 4. Mark 4. And he said, whereunto shall he liken the kingdom of God? Now when Jesus referred, now we can get, I don't want to get too deep and theological, because some theologians distinguish between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is talking about what happened in heaven. The kingdom of God is talking about God's exercise of dominion over man. But for the sake of this understanding here, when he talks about the kingdom, he's talking about how things work in God's system. Once you got born again, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into what? Into the kingdom of his dear son. Look at your neighbor and say, we're in the kingdom now. We're in the kingdom now. That's why I said last week, and I realized there's certain things that I say, and then some things I don't repeat enough for everybody to get it. I say, you got to understand, you don't just live in South Carolina. You live in the kingdom of God in South Carolina. Y'all don't catch that. You don't just live in Columbia. You live in the kingdom of God in Columbia. You don't just live in Irma. You live in the kingdom of God in Irma. You don't just live in West Columbia or Blackwood or Camden, wherever you're from. You live in the kingdom of God in that place. That means that the kingdom of God rules preeminent even over local laws for you. God. That ain't supposed to happen, but I'm in the kingdom of God. Look at somebody and say, we have dual citizenship. Dual citizenship also means sometimes you got diplomatic immunity. Meaning they cannot enforce their laws on you because you are from another kingdom. Will you look to my side? I ain't from here. So he said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God or God's order, how things work? In God's order, Mark 4 and 30. Or what comparison shall we make? Shall we compare it? He said, this is how the kingdom of God is. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown, at the time that it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. He chooses one of the smallest quantities of seed and size. He says less than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown. The first one he's talking about is really talking about before it's sown. The second, but when it's sown, is talking about what's going to happen after it gets in the ground. But when it's sown, it groweth up and it becometh greater than all herbs. And shoots out great branches. Glory to God. Starts in a home with your wife and your four kids and a couple other folks, about 10 of you, but it shoots out campuses. Starts with one little idea in your living room, in the garage, but now you have other business satellites. When it's sown, it groweth up. Now, can I tell you, if it's not sown, it can't grow up. When it's sown, it groweth up, and it becometh. That's process. That's time element. It becometh. That stages, that level, that season. It didn't happen all at one time. It becometh. There's a process. It's increasing over time. It becometh greater than all the earth and shooteth out great branches. So that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Oh, that's how God takes care of those birds. Now, nobody plants a tree usually. I mean, we got some real horticulturists and environmentalists and tree huggers. So this is my daughter. She will cry over a tree. I'm like, get over it. Anyway. But nobody generally plants a tree because you want to give the bird shade. At a minimum, you plant a tree because you think it's going to be beautiful. Or maybe even give yourself some shade. Oh yeah, you don't plant a tree to give the bird shade. I want you to see this. Your potential can bless people you never thought you could bless. When your potential is maximized, you can reach people you never thought you could reach. You can touch people you never thought you could touch. And you're wondering, well, how can that happen? Just maximize your potential and sow it and let God bring the increase. Oh, glory to God. Some plant, some water, but God brings the increase. God will increase your potential if you're willing to maximize your potential. But you got to understand something. There's a battle for your seed. We've been hearing a lot about the battle for your seed. We understand there's a battle for our children, and I don't make light of that, but I need you to see even just beyond that. There is a battle for your potential. There's a battle for what God wants to get out of you. There's a battle for what God wants to do with you. And so the battle starts even when you're a child. That one person said something to discourage you from your destiny. The battle starts through abuse or neglect. The battle starts through people saying negative things. The battle starts through a teacher saying something like you need to go try to do this because it looks like you'll never be able to do that. All that's a battle for your potential. Pastor Chandler's in high school, his assistant principal. I had to go try to negotiate on his behalf about something. And he said, and I said, well, you know, he's on track, he's gonna be going to college. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I wouldn't spend a dime on him to go to college. He said, I wouldn't spend a dime on him to go to college. And then he tried to soften what he said, because I got a son just like him. The best thing he can do is go in the military. Because he probably won't amount to much beyond that. But he didn't understand his potential. Now some of y'all say, you let him say he didn't punch. But I punched him. I can't go around punching people in the face. I'm a pastor. Sometimes I got to remember my name and my title. Y'all do too. I don't know what happened with his son. But my son went on to get a master's degree. Are you listening? There's a battle for your potential. Don't let those negative words kill your potential. Don't let negative environments kill your potential. Look from the place where you are. Not look around where you are. Look from the place where you are. Every now and then, and I hope my homeboys and homegirls from my hometown don't get mad at me, but sometimes I joke about my hometown, Jersey City, even though it's really one of the places to be now, okay, because of all the development down on the waterfront and all that. But I just tell people, Jersey City, they say, where you from? I said, Jersey City, New Jersey. I said, nice place to be from. Nice place to be from. You may think negative about your hometown, but it's a good place to be from. From means you're not there now. From means you have the potential to go beyond where you started. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm trying to get you excited about your potential. all of your struggles, all of your challenges, all of your trials, all of your trouble, it's all about the seed of your potential. So the devil gets a glimpse. He don't know it all. We know that, because had he known that Jesus was going to be resurrected, he would not crucify the Lord, is what the scripture said. So he just has a glimpse. He has a glimpse. That's why you got to see what the devil don't even see. You got to see yourself being bigger than the words that the devil puts in your ears. All the negative things. All your struggles, your challenges, your trials, your trouble, about the seed of your potential. Look back at Mark 4 again. Back up to the earlier verses, Mark 4, verse 14. He said, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the what? The word. The sower soweth the what? The sower soweth the? The soweth the soweth the? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm sowing the word. Jesus breaks down this parable. He says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside. When the word is sown. When the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Because the word is seed that can manifest harvest. Oh, okay, let me break it down. The word is seed that can manifest a good marriage. The word is seed that can manifest children. The word is seed that can manifest a house. The word is seed that can manifest a business. The word is seed. Right now, though, the seed of the word is going forth in you, over your life right now, in your ears right now. But Satan comes immediately to try to steal the word, because the word, he doesn't want the word to produce and maximize the potential of what your life can be if you believe it and receive it. So he comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. And these are they which are sown on stony ground. And when they have heard, immediately they receive with gladness. Oh, hallelujah. Man, wasn't that good? That's why, listen, oh my good. That's why, well, help me, Lord, help me. I got to remember, I got everybody here married, everybody here in adults, okay. Just because you're having pleasure don't mean you're producing. You can have pleasure and not be producing. Nothing won't come out of it. And you can come to church and just get real excited and produce nothing. A lot of pleasure, but no word is taking root and not producing anything. You just have a good time. Oh, woo, help me, Holy Ghost. You just kicking it with the word. Just kicking it. You go to church. Yeah, I go to church. But you're not receiving it. You're not doing it. You're not letting it change your life. You think you're going to get some brownie points by sitting up here. And you might as well be home watching television. Unless you're going to let this word change your mind, change your habits, change your thinking, so it can change your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So they receive with gladness, but verse 17 says, and have no root. A lot of jumping, a lot of shouting, a lot of rejoicing, but have no root. Now watch this. And so endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction and persecution rises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They get off. You don't see them anymore. The proof of whether you have root is whether you're still there after the affliction and after the persecution. That's the proof whether you have root. You don't have root. You're not rooted because you tell me you're rooted. Rooted, oh my God. Rooted got to be seen after the storm. You don't know that tree got good roots until you see it withstood Michael. It withstood the hurricane. It withstood Florence. Are you hearing me? You don't know that you're rooted until you've been through something. Somebody who knows that I'm rooted, give God I'm a rooted praise. Hey, glory to God. I know I'm rooted. If you have been through, if you knew what I've been through, you would know I'm rooted too. The folks who wasn't rooted, they ain't here anymore. The folks who got rooted, they lost their mind. But I still got my right mind. I know I'm rooted. Hey, glory to God. The scripture says, if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is small. He says, so what's going to be the proof of your strength is not your clothes. The proof of your strength is not how you are. You showing up on the payday weekends. Roots are shown after the affliction, after the persecution, after the storm. And then immediately they're offended if you have no root. If you have no root, it don't take much for the devil to knock you over. Don't take much for you to give up. I remind our staff and our leaders all the time. I always tell them, you know, we gotta make sure you say the right things to the people. Don't say nothing, you know, because you know, we all of us are in the business of church growth and member retention. Look at your name. Say, we're all in the business of church growth and member retention. So we're trying to get more people to come, and we're trying to hold on to the ones that we have, for the most part. Glory to God. Okay? All this is the business of church growth and member retention. But and at the same time, you know, I say, well, you got to be careful. No, you can't say that. You got to make sure you say how you doing. Got to make sure you smile. Okay? And it's good to do those things. But can I tell you, when you really root it, it don't matter. And walk right by you with your nasty self and go on in the church and give God praise because he ain't nasty to me. But if you're always getting offended because of nasty people or you misinterpreted something somebody said and here's the biggest deception, that the pastor talking about you. 1,500 people show up here on Sunday, but I'm talking about you. And I don't even know your name. Look at somebody and say, get rooted.
Get rooted.
They're offended. But verse 18 said, these are they which are sown among thorn. They hear the word, but the cares of this world. The cares of this world. I want to let you know, the cares of this world are legitimate. They're legitimate. You really do have to pay bills. No, seriously, they're legitimate. You really do have a car payment. That's legitimate. You really do have a mortgage. That's legitimate. You really are going through things on your job with your family. Those are legitimate. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, you know, I got to make money. Because I got to make money to take care of the cares. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches is money telling you that I am your end all problem solver. That's the deceitfulness of riches. If you just had enough money, your marriage is automatically going to be better. But you can just get more money and become more selfish with your money. If I just have more money, okay, then I will be happier. Not if you still don't know how to manage your money, and now you got more bills that you still are not organized enough to pay. The deceitfulness, all the lies that people think about just having money, and the lust of other things, you throw it in there, lust of other things. All these things keep me from focusing on the word. I was watching something this weekend, Win Without Losing, I was streaming it and listening to Dr. Juanita Bynum preach yesterday. And she said something, I said, we've lost that. She said, there was a time when people had financial issues, even on your business. They said, I need to get to church because I need the anointing of God to give me strategy for this thing. Now y'all dig in more in the flesh. And you justify why you can't come to church because you're running your business and making your money. And you don't realize that one breath of God on your life can change that whole trajectory of your business and can cause you to get the anointing of your life that makes things easier and smoother instead of you over here toiling, talking about I've been working on a railroad. The secrets of riches. The word has potential. The word has potential to make your life smoother. The word has potential to speed up things in your life. But the devil is after the potential of the word to produce maximization in your life. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Where my good ground folks at? Where are my good ground people? Good ground. They hear the word and receive it. Somebody say, I receive that. God's going to bless you more than you can ask or think. Random money coming to you. You are the healed and not the sick. You are the rich and not the poor. You are blessed going in and blessed going out. The devil won't regret ever messing with you. God going to increase you more and more. You and your children. You ain't seen nothing yet. The rest of this year will be the best of your year. God's going to turn something around in your life. Where the good ground people at? Hallelujah! Good ground people hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. It produces in your life. When I came here, this is where I was, but this is where I am now. When I came here, I was a $25,000 man all day long, but now I'm a $100,000 man. When I came here, I didn't know how to treat my wife, but now I love my wife the way Christ loved the church. When I came here, I was fighting my husband just as quick as I would say good morning to him, but now I smile at my husband and I give him due benevolence. Hey, y'all are hearing me here. Receive the word. Bring forth. Watch this. I want you to see here. 30, 60, 100. That's based upon how much you maximize it. See, I grew up in the church. Again, people do things, say things. You know, they receive the offering. And after the offering, they pray over the offering. Say, Father, we thank you for this offering. We ask that you bless those who gave and blessed us, bless those who didn't give. Well, why did I give then? We all get the same blessing. Well, I ain't praying for y'all who didn't give. If you give, it shall be given unto you. It's more blessed to give. So I ain't praying no feel-good prayer for you. Bless those who gave, bless those who didn't give. Okay? And then they always say, and bless them that they receive it 30, 60, and 100 fold. I ain't after the 30 and the 60. I want the 100. The 100 fold means I maximize my potential. The 100 fold means everything I'm supposed to get, I receive. Everything that's supposed to come up, comes up. Everything that's supposed to work, is working. Look, somebody say, I'm working on 100. Working on 100. 99 and even 99 and a half won't do. I want 100. I want to be healed. I want to be blessed. I want to be rich. I want to be prosperous. I want a good marriage. I want a good family. I want a good church. I want to drive good. I want to feel good. I want to look good. I want it all. I want 100-fold of the word working in my life. Grew up singing all these songs. It was nice. It was nice. Made us feel real good. Silver and gold, silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Some folks would rather have houses of land. Some folks choose silver and gold. These things they cherish and forget about their soul. I decided to make Jesus my choice. Because the road is rough and the going is tough and the hills are hard to climb. I started out a long time ago. And there's no doubt in my mind, I decided to make Jesus my choice. I can't tell y'all how relieved I was when I found I could have both. I can have the Jesus and the silver and gold. And I don't care if you roll your eyes because it looks like I got too much silver and too much gold. I'm getting 100-fold. I can have the gold and the silver and be anointed and still speak in tongues and bind it loose. Look, somebody say, I want 100-fold. Everything God has in mind for me. Everything he has in mind for my family, for my ministry, for my children, for my life. I want it all. I want to maximize my potential. Got to wrap this up here. But potential is not just what God has put in you. Potential also is what God wants to get out of you. We don't really know potential until it comes out. Once you see it come out, you realize it was there. But you don't know it's there until it comes out. Potential is not just what God wants to put in you. Potential is what God wants to get out of you. Back to the text. A couple things from there, because all that was the introduction about potential.
God has equipped us all with potential. It's our responsibility to tap into it. Bishop Herbert Bailey gives you the tools to maximize your God-given potential in this transforming series. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Maximizing Your Potential.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.